Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryu. We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we're bringing on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows that you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever shows, all while choosing from the three overall genres of TV, which are drama, comedy, and unscripted.
And so now let's get to our guests this week and find out what's in their top six. We are super excited to have this guest with us today. She is a friend of mine. She's also an amazing writer, amazing actor, and currently she's writing on a little show called The Shrink Next Door, which is going to be on Apple TV Plus. And somebody is starting to shoot Amy Schumer's new show very soon. So let's please welcome Sass Goldberg.
Thanks for that intro. Wow. Yeah. Makes me sound a lot fancier than I am.
It's all true.
Thanks for coming on, Sass.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, we are super excited to find out about TV. I knew that you like to watch TV as much as I like to watch TV. And so I was like, I know Sass is going to be great for this because I know she's going to have a lot of opinions. I keep up with your Instagram stories, okay?
I do have a lot of opinions. I don't watch as much TV as I would like, to be totally honest with you. I wish I watched more TV, but I'm trying. I'm trying to hit the quota.
Amazing.
So tell us, before we get into your criteria, and we'll touch on the shows that almost made it, but we're just on the outside looking in. But before that, even kind of, what is your personal history with TV? Did you watch a lot of it growing up, even though you're not watching as much now? How did you get into the business itself, acting and writing? Kind of, what's your personal relationship with TV?
Yeah, I've always loved TV. I think, to me, I always equate TV with nighttime, like either nighttime getting ready for bed or being sick at home, like Price is Right, that sort of moment. Just like staying home from school and getting to watch that kind of stuff. But like my earliest memories are Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then bedtime. So that's kind of how I still watch TV before bed. I have a TV in my bedroom and it's just like my wind down period. So like I would say I go to bed really early, but I would say like 9:30, it's time for me to shut everything off and just watch a little, usually something comedic. I don't like anything scary. I'm actually pretty boring when I think about it. Nothing that can make me fearful. Like I had to stop Homeland when they started shooting in New York, like the New York season I was out.
Oh, too close to home.
But I loved it till then. Too close to home. Yeah, yeah. Like I can't do any of that before bedtime. My mind is hard to shut off. So I need something that's like, it's really helpful for me to see something I've already seen before, if that makes sense, because I sort of know the rhythm and like the jokes that are coming because it's like, it's like a little part of meditation. Not really. I don't meditate, but it's my version of meditation.
Yeah. It's like, it's that comfort factor, that nostalgia, if it's that sort of show. It is a bit of a debate, though. It's often you hear the TV in the bedroom or not in the bedroom, because a lot of folks are like, oh, my God, you put a TV in the bedroom, it'll ruin your life.
I know.
I disagree. I think TV anywhere that you might have a chance of wanting to watch one should be.
Mm-hmm. I think if I didn't have a TV in my bedroom, that would ruin my life.
This is the first time, I guess, in my, like, growing up, I always had a TV in my room. And then, like, up through college, but I think after I moved to New York, I've only had like a one TV home.
Oh.
And so.
So you watch TV only in you watch TV in like the living room space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I do. Well, and then I also watch it on the iPad. I watch it on my phone sometimes. Like I kind of have it to go. I was thinking about getting a TV put into the kitchen because like my living room is on a different level than the kitchen. So I'm really used to like, you know, I like to have the TV on while I'm like doing stuff in the kitchen, which is I'm always in the fucking kitchen.
Of course. You have children.
Thank you, having a 15-month-old and a 4-year-old. It's like I'm always just like sweeping or like cutting things up into small pieces. That's my life.
Welcome to my world as well.
Yeah.
Get a TV in the kitchen. I think that's going to really serve you.
Well, we got a big iPad because we had like a little mini iPad for my daughter. And we just were like, we're getting a big iPad and that's going to be what I watch TV on. We told her it's the family iPad. So she doesn't think that it's hers. And she's always like, so do you think I could just see the family iPad right now? She's like, Mommy, thinking about the family iPad. I mean, I could just watch it on the family iPad. But yes, I agree with, I wouldn't mind having a TV in the bedroom, but like I haven't pulled the trigger on it.
As long as you can like like keep it in moderation. I think like at night going to bed is great, but like you just don't want it to be like, oh, now I'm just in my bed all the time watching TV. Like I have one in my bedroom, but it doesn't go on unless I'm falling asleep and need something to kind of fall asleep to.
Yeah, I mean, but then I'm not on my phone. It's one or the other. I need some sort of tech.
Yeah.
It's really bad, but I do. It's true. Right. I'm not like reading a book.
Really. Who's reading a book? Who are these people? I mean, I guess I'm kind of like reading a book on my phone, but like I'm still like on my phone.
I'm so bad at reading books.
I used to be great. I used to is the operative word. I'm bad now.
Same. Do you find that the last year has affected your reading habits? Because I was a much better reader pre-quarantine, and then I kind of fell off. Not even sure why, but this past year, I'm like, okay, I'm going to read a book a month. And here we are like several months in and I'm like halfway through one book.
It's hard to say. I had my second child in quarantine. So it's hard to say what she could have been the clincher, but it also could have been cincher, clincher. I don't know.
Clincher, yeah.
Clincher. She could have been this. She could have been like the reason, but it also could have been I don't know. I'm not reading. I love to be reading, but I'm not.
Well.
I can't join this conversation. I've read probably 20 books since the year started.
Oh, show off. What a show off.
Oh my God.
But it's also because I read on my phone and I found out that you can get library books on your phone.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a real game changer.
You do like, what do you need? An app?
Yeah. The app is called Libby and I connected it to my Brooklyn Public Library library card number. And now I can like check out, you can get audiobooks, you can get regular books.
Whoa.
It's a real game changer. Sometimes you have to wait. Because like I don't understand why I don't have unlimited copies of these things. But like, so like right now.
They're on the internet.
Yeah, I know. It's like, guys, like, you know, I can just pirate these. That's what I usually do. But I feel like I'm being good by going to the library to get them. But like, it's very easy for me to go and download these somewhere.
Wow. Okay. Well, offline about that because I do want to find out more about how to do that.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Wow. Great tip.
Hot tip.
But this is not a show about your favorite books.
No.
This is a show about your favorite shows. So before we get to your BFF criteria, Sass, we want to know a little bit more about the shows that were close, right? So they didn't make the top six. They didn't make a category, but they were in the discussion. They were in the conversation. So these aren't your TV BFFs, but they're still pretty good friends. What was close?
Oof. Beat Bobby Flay was really up there for me.
Ooh, okay. Fun one. Okay.
Yeah. Love it. For a lot of the reasons, I like anything that's formulaic, that's the same thing each time. I think because I watch it before I go to bed, if I know what's literally you could watch any of them and it's edited the same exact way. Like where this is going to shake down in two rounds and you see the two rounds and right. It goes the same exact thing. I just like that I know what it's going to be. So whether it's paella or flan or you know, roasted chicken, I know what the show is going to look like. So Beat Bobby Flay is really up there for me.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I May Destroy You was very much, I hemmed and hawed. I loved that show so much. Showed storytelling in a way I'd never seen before. Really made me inspired to like write. Every time I watched it, I wanted to write myself. So loved it. I couldn't have consumed it fast enough. Mm-hmm. And This is a twist. Nobody's going to have said this, but I'm going to say it. Once Upon a Time. I don't know if you guys remember that show or know what that show is.
We do remember.
We remember it.
It's come up, not from a guest, but I think Brandy has mentioned loving this show or watching this show, right?
Once? No. Oh, you know when it came up in a test episode when we talked with Brian. But yes, I have mentioned the show.
You have? Okay.
Yeah.
So I loved the show and I didn't realize how the kind of absurdist the show was until my husband, who had not seen any episodes, like kind of joined me on like the fifth episode or whatever it was. And he was like, give me a quick debrief, like what's happening? And then I tried to give him like clip notes. I was like, all right, so that man there, that's Jiminy Cricket, but he's just a town therapist. So like, and as I was explaining to him what the show was, he's like, wait, I'm sorry. What is this show? I was like, I know, that's Pinocchio. You don't know it's Pinocchio. You'll get to why it's Pinocchio. And then I just realized how absurd it was that I bought into it all. And so, you know, like, God bless them because that is a true skill.
It really is.
So, Sass, once upon a time, were you a Disney person? Did that get you into the show and then you were hooked from there? Or was just completely separate from Disney, you just liked the idea of Once Upon a Time?
I was not a particular Disney person. Like, I saw Little Mermaid, but I wouldn't classify myself as, like, the Disney gal. I didn't even like Beauty and the Beast. So no, I just think Once Upon a Time spoke to like a deep desire of storytelling within me that I got caught up in the world.
No, they were good at hooking you in, like, because as you were saying it, I was like, oh, I don't think I have ever explained the show to anyone. It's really
it's out good. Loud. That's Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's wild. It's a wild show.
I mean, I have other things that almost made the list, but I would say those are my highlights.
I want to go back to I May Destroy You for a second, because so you mentioned you're a writer.
I am,
and it made you want to write. Was it because the main character was a writer in that show, or because it was so well written that it made you want to write?
Because it was so well written. I was just like so inspired with the storytelling aspect. I like the not linear way they told the story that I'm so curious of what the writing process was for that show, right. How she mapped it out. I thought it was truly, truly breathtaking.
I think so too. That finale too. That I haven't seen anything like that finale in a long time. And I don't want to spoil anything for those who haven't seen it, but it kind of gave you a view inside someone's experience with trying to find closure and like running through all the different scenarios of how that might happen in a really visceral kind of like reality testing way. Does that make sense? But it made me kind of think about how I think about things in a way.
Yeah. It was an incredible, I mean, the whole series was just masterful.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So we have Beat Bobby Flay, I May Destroy You, and Once Upon a Time, a wild, like crazy range of shows in your almost category. I can't wait to get in.
That's me.
To the BFF criteria. Brandy, let's set up the criteria for Sassier.
Okay. All right. So we asked you to pick six shows in total with two shows in each of the three categories. That's going to make up your TV BFF criteria. And these categories are best, favorite, and forever. So your best shows are the ones that you think are just the most artistic, well-executed, or just overall the best made shows you've ever seen. Your favorite shows are the ones that hold a place that are near and dear to your heart and just mean something to you personally. And the forever shows, if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose two shows to watch in order from pilot to finale, over and over, for infinity. What are they?
Right. So a couple quick rules. We had you choose from the three overall genres of TV for each category, and those are comedy, drama, and unscripted. And unscripted means everything from reality shows to documentary series to game shows and everything in between. There must be multiple episodes, so no one-offs allowed, but other than that, it can be anything, and this is crucial. There are no such thing as guilty pleasures here, so if you love it,
none.
Let's talk about it, no shame. And the last thing is, you can't double up on a genre in any category. And this is where it gets a little tricky. So if you pick a drama in your best category, then your other pick must be either a comedy or unscripted. So with that said, Sass, let's get into your criteria. What is your first selection in the best category?
My first select, this is so exciting. My first selection in the best category is a little show that some people might know and some people might not, called The Comeback with Lisa Kudrow.
Love it.
Oh, The Comeback. So Brandy, this was on your almost shows. So we've talked about it a little bit.
This is in my almost shows. It was like very much almost in the criteria. I love it.
I love comedy. I think this show was ahead of its time. I still think it was ahead of its time.
Agreed.
And it's pretty incredible. They did two seasons and they were several years apart. And even when the second season came out, I still think it was ahead of its time. I think Valerie Cherish is doing some of the most incredible character play I've ever seen. They distorted the genre, and I don't want to give too much away with the second season, but they do something with the camera that they do in the last episode that was like so illuminating. And I just found the show, it's titillating in the best possible way. And it was like, just, I think people didn't know how to consume it because it was so different than anything you've ever seen before. It still is. There's nothing that I really can compare to. There was a cringe factor that was amazing, but also real, I mean, huge, huge laughs, huge character development, but also so tender. And you cared for this person so deeply, Valerie Cherish. It's like, I don't know if there could be a better TV character. This is the best. This is like the highest. This is the gold standard for me.
It's such an amazing show. Like, Lisa Kudrow is.
Yeah.
And I think I always knew she was so good. I always knew she was good because she's always been great. But then when I saw this, it's like, oh, she's on another level of what I thought she was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It like kind of separated her from like the Phoebe and Romy Michelle. And it was like, oh, wait, this woman can do anything because this character has to do so much. What I loved about it, I think you're right, Sass, it felt ahead of its time in that it came out with like that The Office mockumentary Modern Family era, but it was more self-aware. Like there was really clever, like behind the scenes, peeking behind the production of the production, like a lot of like show within a show going on there that put that all together. And it was like, you're right. Like it feels like itself. It's just the comeback. And then you really can't compare other things to it in that way.
And it was also inside baseball in the sense of it was about like the, you know, the show business, but I didn't feel like, I feel like it really included people considering how specific it was. And like, you may not understand what they were talking about, but you understood it just by the nature of how they inserted themselves in the show. Like, I don't think you needed knowledge of show business to watch the show and appreciate it. She felt so universal.
I think that's right. What was the gap between those two seasons? Because not until you mentioned that, I forgot it was such a big gap in between the first one and the second one.
It's like 9 or 10 years or something.
Like I wanted to say 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. It was long. Because like when season two came out, I watched all that and I was like, how did I not catch this the first go round? And I went back and like watched.
Oh, you didn't know about it till season two.
Yeah, like, well, I remember hearing about it in season one.
Yeah, I mean, they're so different too. I still quote her all the time, particularly season one, because it also was like the height of reality TV, the boom of reality TV, like Fear Factor and stuff. And I thought this was such an incredible look into the blending of both genres.
You're right. Now that you say it, it felt more reality than it did like The Office, Modern Family mockumentary. Even though that was aping reality already, it felt more in the reality lane genre-wise. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you quote all the time. What are some of your favorite go-to quotes?
Well, obviously, like, I don't want to see that. And well, I got it. Red, Jane, we got it. I mean, I do it all the time, a lot. After I got my first vax, that's all I wrote to people. I was like, well, I got it.
Oh, sounds good. That's a high bar for your first pick in the comedy genre. So we got a drama or an unscripted coming up next in the best category. What do we got?
We do. So I kind of cheated because this is what I consider a comedy, but it's an hour long. So it's an hour long comedy, but it's considered a drama.
Okay. All right.
Succession.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Succession, another HBO.
Yeah, it is a comedy though.
It's an hour long comedy.
It kind of, I mean, it's the funniest show on HBO. That's facts, right?
There's so many jokes per, there's so many jokes per episode, but it's a drama.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's technically a drama.
Yeah. I just think it's the best writing on television.
If someone hasn't seen Succession yet, Sass, tell us what it is, what it's about, and why it's on your best list.
It's based on, it's about a family, a multimedia family, the Roys, and the lineage, what's going to happen if the father leaves the business, which child is going to take over the, what's that called, empire. And so you kind of watch these children, these sort of spoiled children, come into their own throughout the show and deal with who's going to take over. I'm explaining it. Wow, that was a terrible logline. You wouldn't believe that I was a writer, but I'm telling you, you should see the show. It's incredible. I'm tired, guys. It's late.
Yeah. Listen, because I've seen the show, I felt that really encapsulated what the show was about.
I think that's right.
And then you're tired too, because that was terrible. That was the worst few sentences I've ever strung together. But it's so good. It's just, it's so fast. It's so smart. The acting is so good.
Mm.
It's a perfect show. It's perfectly cast. It's a perfect show. No notes.
So you mentioned it's about this family, and this is like the uber powerful, like
it's based off the Murdoch family, I believe. I think that was like the inspo.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like shades of Murdochs, shades of Trumps, even shades of just like these awful
uber wealth.
Like, yeah, none of the people are likable, really. Like very few. I think I maybe like Cousin Greg. He's probably the most likable one.
Yeah.
But even then, he's got some shittiness to him as well. They're all shitty. So
he gets a taste. They're all shitty.
Yeah. Of all the turds in the shit pot, who are you rooting for the most? Who would you root for to take over from Logan Roy?
Shiv.
Sure. But can she handle it?
She can handle it. I don't even think that's a conversation. She could definitely handle it.
I think so too.
She's my pick. I pick Shiv.
Brandy, what about you? Who are you picking?
Honestly, I should go with Shiv, but like I just really feel like Kendall's gonna get his act together, guys. Isn't he?
No, Brandy, I don't think you actually think that. I don't think if you were the person in charge, you might like it for TV purposes, but you don't actually think Kendall should run the business.
No,
No,
I think it should actually be
Roman.
The duo of the no Roman, absolutely not, never, never, not once.
No,
which means the show will probably put him in charge because that'll be just so entertaining, at least for a stretch. But
yeah.
I think it should probably be Shiv and Kendall working in tandem. Whether they can ever do that, who knows? But if you watch closely, it feels like there's in season two there's some sort of connective something going on between the two of them that's like not obvious in the plotting, but like, I don't know. I feel like there might be something there. There's glances, there's a couple scenes.
I can't wait for season three.
I know.
I'm so excited for it to start.
And I feel like every day there's like a new casting announcement. And I'm just like,
I know.
And it's like, boom, boom,
like
boom.
Like a cool casting announcement.
Yeah.
Adrian Brody.
Who else? There was another one that was big.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, that's right.
It just sounds, they're so good. Everything mm-hmm. they do, I'm like, oh, right. That's perfect. That's going to be perfect. But I thought the ending of season two was just such a mic drop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it taught me a new word that I never knew that now I use all the time.
Which is?
Fanciful.
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 Ooh. Use it in a sentence.
It's if you think that my father didn't know what was going on, that's utterly fanciful.
That's some sharp writing.
It's good, yeah.
I like made me look up fanciful and I said, what's that word?
Do you have...
You're like, it's mine now.
I know, right? Do you have a moment that sticks out? Like when I say Succession, what's the first thing that comes to your head? What's the first scene that you think of that kind of encapsulates that show for you?
I think of a scene between, it's at the end of season two. So, okay, I'll give another one. There's another episode called Boar. I don't know if it's called this, but they play a game called Boar on the Floor. And mm-hmm. It's super memorable to me.
Carl.
No.
Do you like the Pierce deal?
I do. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bullshit. Boar on the Floor. Hey, it's a game in the corner over there. Stand there. Go, 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 go. Which one of you boars did it? Tom.
Yes.
Sit on the floor. It's fun.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a game. Boar on the floor.
I feel.
Get down. Boar on the floor. Boar on the floor. Kendall, ring the troops. Boar on the floor.
Boar on the floor. Boar on the floor.
Come on, Frank.
Boar on the floor.
Frank.
Why am I in this? How the fuck would I know, Greg? You think I have a rational explanation for this?
There's just so many like lines, and there's so much Mo Lester.
Mo Lester.
There's so many.
Uncle Mo.
Uncle Willa, the girlfriend, mm-hmm. who's a playwright. Just like, I love the way the characters are so fully drawn mm-hmm. and they feel unlike anybody I've ever seen before, but also people I know. So like, mm-hmm. it's a perfect combination. And, you know, Cousin Greg and Tom are like one of the great comedic duos.
They mm-hmm. are.
For me.
They are. Mm-hmm. They're great. I love now going back and like whenever it's on TV, I'll tune into Ferris Bueller's Day Off and just have such a different view of Cameron now. I don't know why, like that guy's been in dozens and dozens of other things, but like the straight line for me.
He will always be Cameron.
It goes from Ferris Bueller right to Succession. He had no life in between, just went from one to the other, and I can't separate the two of them.
No. And he's so perfectly cast in Succession as that older brother that like is not even in the running for taking over.
No.
But the oldest.
Exactly.
He's running for president, guys.
Yeah.
No, and I love the casting on that show. I love when I don't really like it was like this with Game of Thrones as well when I don't recognize anybody, so I can't really like Cameron's mm-hmm. the only person that I recognize, and he's really like you have to really know that he's Cameron, I feel like, because he's a little bit more like grizzled or whatever, but like I don't have a prior history with anyone in the cast, so like they are all who they are. And I thought that I knew, I was like Logan Roy's been in something else, but I was looking at his IMDb and I was like I don't know what I know him from. I don't mm-hmm.
You know him as the chief in Super Troopers. That's how I know him. I ran out the tape on that movie growing up. So
it's
for
not
me,
landing. Yeah. It's not landing with her.
No, it's not it.
No,
nope. What's his name? Brian Cox. He's been around.
Cox. Yeah. No, he's definitely been around. But like, I just for me, everybody in that show is they're just it's like that's the Roy family, mm-hmm. and I really appreciate that. Like when I heard that Tom was British, I was like, I'm sorry, what?
And she's Australian. Yeah, you get totally immersed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a world that I never want to live in, but like I love watching. All right, so your best shows are The Comeback and Succession. What is your first favorite show?
Going reality here.
Okay.
Favorite, Top Chef.
Great choice.
Thank you so much.
Nice, nice. I was wondering if you were going to get some more food content after the Beat Bobby Flay. I'm glad we did.
Yeah, yeah. I also have Pioneer Woman on my almost, so I do love the good Food Network show.
Okay, fair. Top Chef, famously not Food Network. What about it stands out, and why is it in your favorite?
I think it's a wonderful reality show. The fact that they have made so many seasons last when you can't taste the food, and yet I feel like I can taste the food, speaks to kind of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And also, it's an incredible reality show because the editing sort of lets you know what the result's going to be before it even starts. And that's sort of the fun of it. You're like, either they're going to win it or they're going home because they're spending way too much time talking about that one person.
Right. The curse of the backstory package.
Of course. Just like, I've been missing my family. And you're like, oh, well, they're going home. So you're going to see them now. And I also like that for the most part, they play nice with each other. So it's not like a Real Housewives is not it for me, because when they started fighting with each other all season, like, I don't love watching that. Mm-hmm. And what I like about Top Chef is the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like everyone's really nice. Like, oh, I'm not gonna make my time. I'll help you plate. So it really stands about what they're doing rather than like the connection with each other and like who can be the most salacious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because at the end of the day, it's about what they're going to, it's like what they're cooking. So even if you start a fight with somebody, like, that person could still outcook you. So it doesn't matter that you start a fight with them.
And I think the cutthroat nature of it's all about who cooked the best dish that day. It's like, you just have to be on your, it's not cumulative. So if you had a bad day, you're going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which sometimes I wish it was cumulative, because sometimes someone goes home, I'm like, but she has been great every damn week. And then all of a sudden she, you know, misfires her fish and she's gone, you know? Mm-hmm.
I know. And sometimes you get a finale, like, that's like, that person shouldn't be in the finale. You know what I mean? Or it feels like a layup, like, you know who it's going to be.
Right. Now, Seth, so you mentioned, like, I too like the camaraderie, especially with those later seasons. I feel like the earlier ones were much more like typical Bravo.
Formulaic, you know? The hothead, the thing. Yes, I agree. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have favorite seasons?
I don't remember which season it was, but there's a season with Voltaggio brothers, Jen and Kevin, the first time around, that I thought was just like one of the strongest groups of chefs altogether. I was like, I have no idea who this is going to go to.
Vegas.
Was that Vegas?
That was Vegas. The Voltaggios were in Vegas.
Wow. Look at you.
It's
dropping
it's on my,
knowledge.
It's on my criteria as well, Sass. I'm a huge fan of the show.
Oh, yeah. You are. I mean, I love Gregory, so I love both seasons he was in. I was I like saw him in Portland at a restaurant. I was totally starstruck at a restaurant. I really lost my shit. He was so nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
I asked him where the bathroom was. But I've gone to a lot of the chef's restaurants afterwards. So I'm just like, I really just love it. Austin.
Ooh,
good season.
Let's restaurant critic hat. Which has been your favorite Top Chef alum dining experience?
Ooh. Oh my God. Feel on the spot.
You can give a top couple. You don't need to go one. If you know.
I know the answer. I don't remember his last name. Paul. He was the winner. I want to say his name. It's not this, but I want to say his restaurant's name was Q.
Yeah. I think it's Paul Key. And his last name starts with a Q.
So maybe it's not called Q. Maybe it was called Key, and I just got the name of the restaurant. It was an incredible dining experience.
He won Texas.
I think he won Austin.
Yeah.
Texas? Is it just a thing? Yeah. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching the current season? Are you watching this Portland season?
Of course. Of course.
Stupid question.
Yeah.
So as I mentioned, I'm a huge Top Chef fan. I'm also in a fantasy league. And I've selected two chefs.
Who do you have winning?
So basically the way it works is you choose two chefs and you get points for quick fires and elimination wins and making it through the episode, you get a point. If you're like in the winner's circle, you get half a point, crazy shit like that. So I chose Dawn with the third pick in the draft. I think she's going to go far.
Ooh, I think it's a great pick. Her ribs, they loved her ribs.
They did love her ribs.
They loved her popcorn. She made popcorn.
They've been loving everything. And
I was nervous because I feel like popcorn got an edit. And I was like, oh, no.
We did get an edit in the trailer. They were like, Dawn,
send her home.
Need popcorn. I know.
That's right. Now, Sass, how are you? How would you fare in a Top Chef-like challenge? Like, could you do a quick fire?
I think I could. I feel good. I feel good about it.
What sort of quick fire could you do? What sort of challenge would you excel in?
I like cooking. I don't think I like the pressure. I think I do really well with, like, the challenges, but, like, time's not a constraint.
Right, okay. So not quick fires.
Not Quickfires. I don't know why I said it. The other ones, Elimination. And I don't think, I don't like running or anything like that. I sometimes think they have Quickfires that are insane. Like they have one this season that was like, we're going to do short order cooks. And like, they were just like,
that was really
Richard Blaze said like the stupidest dish. Right.
That was, yeah, it was like just about the speed.
Yeah. And it was like annoying. I thought that was annoying. I like when like, I mean, I love the finale. Love Restaurant Wars, obviously.
Oh, sure. Although that one's the most like I get so anxious during Restaurant Wars because it can never be hit out of the park. It's always going to be trouble because it's such a Herculean effort.
But there's only two people's trouble for. You're either going home if you're the executive chef or if you're front of house.
That's like, right.
The other two are the only jobs I want.
It's yeah. It's a cardinal rule.
Anytime sure. that they have yeah. to all work together, I'm very like nervous and stressed out because I'm just like, can it just be all individual? Just be individual. Don't try to work together.
So are they.
You guys are going to get along.
Oh, that's wonderful. Gosh, good pick. Strong favorite pick. Sass, what's your second favorite show?
This might be a show that not everyone knows, but it was an Amazon show, and it's called Catastrophe.
I love Catastrophe.
Oh, take it away. I don't know. I haven't watched.
Brandon, me and you, we're seeing eye to eye.
Yeah, it's so good.
You don't know it? Oh my God, I'm so jealous that you get to watch it. It's Rob Delaney and Sharon Horgan wrote it and star in it together. And it's just a beautiful show about a one-night stand that turns into a pregnancy. And two people kind of figure out how to make it work. Really simple premise.
Wait, does this take place in Britain, the show?
Yes, in Britain.
I have heard of this. And now that you talk about it, it's one of my brother's favorite shows. My brother has raved about it. And for some reason, it hasn't reached the top of my watch list. But
it's so good. It's so good. It's so wonderful. Their chemistry is incredible. I think the way they deal with alcoholism is amazing.
Oh.
It's a comedy that has like some dark underbelly that they feel fully drawn people. I think it's because the two of them wrote it and starred in it. And it's sort of a perfect show. Also, as like a parent, I loved watching it, or somebody who's really confused about pregnancy. I loved watching it.
Yeah, they're so good together. I love her. Like, I love everything about her character because, like, she's so unapologetically herself, and it's just really refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, even when being herself, it's like, oh my God, you're so, I can't believe you said that to him. Like, you are such a bitch. But it's like, she.
And you get mad at them too. Like, you're like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a good show. I haven't seen the most recent season though, which I really want to watch.
Oh, it's a beautiful, it's the final season. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I know like the last, I think, because there's three seasons, right? Or four.
There's three seasons. I think the second season ends in like a pretty traumatic way. And the third season is like
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so jealous for you. I'm so jealous when someone gets to watch something with new eyes.
Oh, I know. So wait, so this is a half hour comedy?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Comedy.
But it sounds like there's some drama. It sounds like this is like one of the, like.
Definitely some drama.
Okay. I dig that. Yeah. I like when my comedies make me cry. I really do enjoy that.
Oh, you'll cry.
Yeah, there will be tears.
Nice. I love it. Okay, good. What put it in your favorite category as opposed to best or forever?
Ooh, interesting. Oh, I mean, it could have gone into a best. So let me just say that.
Okay.
Karen. Rob, if you're listening, this definitely could have gone into the best, but I was really trying to figure out where to put things. And I think what I loved about this is I think it drew a relationship in a really beautiful way that like it showed love in sort of, it didn't feel feverish or did maybe for like an episode. And then it kind of really went into a groove of like they knew each other or getting to know each other. And their rhythm is unlike anything I've ever seen. And they don't feel like likely leads of a romantic comedy. And I think that's what I loved. It's unexpected.
Sex with her was, at best, nice, but you induced, like, a medical condition in me, and I had to be inside you for, like, a week. You fucked me up.
I have to tell you something. One of the first nights we were together, you made this weird sound when you came. Like, normally you're all grunty and, but this one time you made this weird, high-pitched, kind of feminine, kind of, and I don't know if you remember, but one of the days I didn't call you until, like, 9 p.m.,
Yeah.
Well, it was because of that.
That description just hook, line, and sinker. I'm in. I'm totally in.
There you go.
You made up for the log line on Succession.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Ooh, much better with Catastrophe. Yeah.
Oh, wow. This is shaping up to be a really incredible list. We're on to the final category, the forever category. So a couple points of distinction here. You are allowed to jump in between your two forever shows. So you don't need to watch one and then the other. You can jump in between.
Okay.
But no skipping episodes, no skipping seasons. It's pilot to finale or most recent episode if it's a current show in order forever. Sass, what's your first forever show?
My first forever show is Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
That's a big forever.
Oh my God.
Is that on your list too?
Yeah. Can you please show
it's
her?
It's not just on my list, Sass.
Oh, you have a clear eyes, full hearts can't lose. Yeah.
It's on my arm as well.
I mean, wow. Do I love that show? I understand the tattoo. If I had any tattoos, I think I could get one. I love it. I love it.
I love it. This makes me so happy. This is, I think, the first criteria outside of my own that we've gotten Friday Night Lights. So we're going to spend some time here. Yeah. This is really exciting. If somehow you haven't seen Friday Night Lights and you've also skipped Brandy and I in our criteria episode, Sass, tell us about Friday Night Lights and why do you love it so much?
Oh, God, here we go with the log lines again. Let's try this. Friday Night Lights is about a small local town in Texas and how their worlds and lives are shaped by football and the comings and goings of the sports teams. And that is also a terrible log line because it is so not about football. So that's why I didn't watch it, because I thought it was about football. I saw it late. I saw it after it all premiered.
Okay, so you binged it.
And everyone was like, Friday Night, I binged it. Okay. And everyone was like, watch it. And I was like, I don't want to do a football show. Like, I'm telling you, I'm not going to like a football show. And it's not a football show.
It's not about football.
It's a character. It's not about football. It's about, it's about these people. It's about lives, you know, in this small area in Texas.
Yeah. And really, I think for me, it's about a marriage. It's Coach and Tammy. And then everything else emanates
Coach and Tammy
from that center. And I think for me.
Sure. I mean, I'm a Matt Saracen girl, like in a very big way. Like, I never understood Tim Riggins if you could have Matt Saracen. I know that's unpopular opinion.
Even season one. Even in season one.
From the beginning, I was like, oh, hook, line, and sinker. I got it.
I mean, is he your favorite character on the show?
Saracen? No, yeah. Tammy, obviously.
Tammy, yes. But, okay.
Y'all. Tammy's my favorite. And I also like, as far as writing, I do refer to the characters a lot because I think they're very complicated. They do a really good job of creating archetypes of like characters, like Tammy, the loving, dutiful wife, but she's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. Buddy, which I think on like first glance is, you know exactly who that person is. Loudmouth, chauvinistic. But like, as you get to know them, I just feel like they did such a wonderful job at showing the complications of multifaceted sides of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Character piece. Coach Taylor. Coach T.
Coach T. And I think you're right. And it's also like a weird kind of TV story of like how it got, not how it got made, because it got made like most shows, but after that first season, season two, cut short by the writer's strike, and then almost canceled and had to rebound after some questionable creative decisions in season two, which we'll talk about. But then season three, four, and five had like this weird partnership with DirecTV so that it could stay on the air, but the season shortened to 13 episodes. And I think that enhanced the storytelling, kind of
it serviced
focused
it
a little bit more, but it had the benefit of a full 22 episode season one to, I think, flesh out a lot of those characters like you were talking about.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely can see when it switched from 22 episodes. Like, you feel it. You feel the writers feeling a little bit freer from it as well. Yeah. And I also think it's a great example of like what happens when, I think at some point they didn't know where to go with the storylines, which is, I think you're talking about like the Landry scenario.
Yeah, I mean,
that was wild. I literally forgot that happened until somebody said it. And I was like, oh my God, they did that. And then they were like, just forget that we did that.
Which is what the show did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like there was a murder that goes unremarked upon for seasons at a time.
Yeah. I'm like, just be quiet about that.
So what is, do you have a favorite season?
I think, I mean, I want to say season three, but then season five, I'm sorry. Like I love that final season.
Those are the two. I think you're right. I think it's between season three and five. I think the odd numbers are the best, 1, 3, and 5, because 1 kind of set the stage.
Me too. Amazing. And also, like, someone I know is just watching 1 right now, and they're like, Jason, you know, he got hurt. I was like, who? And, like, I literally forgot that was, like, a thing.
Right. That's, like, a setup the whole story.
I was like, oh, you're going to get to – I was like, the setup. I was like, oh. I was like, you're going to get to know him in such a different capacity.
Yeah. But I think that pilot, like, is still one of the reasons why I hold season 1 in such – so fondly, because one still to this day, and I rewatched it a couple weeks ago, getting ready to talk about it with Brandy, and it's still to this day one of the best pilots I've ever seen.
It is. Anytime I'm sorry, there's a few shows, and I don't want to say my other forever show, but it's the pilot I always watch when I'm starting to write a pilot, because it helps me get in the mindset of like, what's an excellent pilot, like sets up character. I mean, you know, it's really difficult to write a pilot. And they've done it so well, in the sense that you want to watch a second episode. It's bingeable, but it also was shown weekly. I just think the writing is wonderful.
And how did you think so what the show also did was kind of reinvent itself after the first three seasons. You know, it's a show about high school football. A lot of kids graduate.
New class.
Other things happen. If you still haven't seen it, we won't totally spoil it, but how did you feel about kind of the reboot going into season four?
Love the reboot. And obviously the acting is superb in the reboot, and also took it in a totally different direction. I love that they made Coach Taylor a fish out of water. I just think what they did was so smart.
Mm-hmm. And also, hello, Michael B. Jordan. I mean,
he's kind of talented, I guess, if you're into that thing. If you're into incredible acting.
Yeah. You're into like incredibly good looking guys who are also amazing actors.
Amazing actors. Like, you'll like it. He's so good in it. And you also you feel, you love him so much. You feel frustrated. You mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what the show does so well. But I think you feel frustrated with all. Like, I feel frustrated with Coach Taylor a lot too.
Yeah.
I wrote into a pilot a character that just watches compilations of Friday Night Lights, because I do it often.
Wow, that's something that I don't do. I'll just throw on an episode. Like, I have my favorites. I'll just throw on an episode.
Oh, I do it. I do. I love a compilation.
You're gonna have to send me a list.
I'll send you some of my favorites. Yeah, no problem.
Brandy, what about you? Do you?
I mean, listen, Dan, I know how excited you are.
I know. I kind of took over this conversation. I apologize.
No, it's okay. I was like, I was like, when this came up as a forever show, I was like, Dan's got this one. So I too like Friday Night Lights. I definitely watched the first season. I remember what you're talking about in the second season, but I don't remember thinking that that was weird. And I think that it's because I wasn't really paying attention. Do you know what I mean? So when it happened, it was just like, oh, let's just check that off the plot list. Yeah. Okay, great. I wasn't seeing it as a part of a whole.
It kind of makes sense in the moment, I guess, but
yeah.
And then I started watching it when the change happened. Because my roommate, it was back when, you know, you got DVDs and Netflix, kids.
Oh, sure.
And she was watching it. So, like, I would, like, dip in and out. And then I think for season four, I was like, all right, I'm in. You're going to wait for me before you start the next one now. But I loved Julie.
Hot take. You liked Julie.
Yeah, I did like Julie.
Wow, that is a twist.
That's bigger than in some season two twists, I'll say.
I didn't mind her. I like Julie. I like Matt. Obviously love Tim Riggins. Sorry, Sass. I teamed him.
I mean, like, I get it, but if you had to give me both guys, I'd pick Matt.
Oh, gosh, in that TikTok, I'm like running towards Tim. But yeah, and then obviously like Coach and Tammy, who will just always and forever be Coach and Tammy to me. Whenever I see Coach in anything, I'm like, oh my God, it's Coach.
Yeah.
Tammy has done, I do see her as different things now, because I feel like she's a pretty good actress. So like
Nashville,
I'm into it. Yeah.
Nashville.
I think of her more in Nashville terms than I do in Friday Night Light terms.
No. No, 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 Brandy.
Love Nashville. Okay,
And I think of Coach. This is weird. I think of Coach Taylor now. Bloodline.
Mm.
Oh, I had that for a minute.
Rayburn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rayburn. John Rayburn. He was great in that. But I really liked that show. I thought he was really good.
Was also on my list of almost loved. Ooh. But it's specific to season one.
Season one, it loses the plot a little bit towards the end there.
I mean, Ben Mendelsohn is incredible in that show, and he's season one.
So have you stayed connected with the extended Jason Kadam's universe, the Parenthoods and the shows that he's created after that? Really?
No, never even touched another one. I think Parenthood, I don't know if I can handle it. I don't know if I can handle it. I don't think I'm mentally aware.
What do you mean you can't handle it? What way? What do you mean?
I feel like I'll be very emotional. I think maybe I could have done it pre being a parent.
Oh, sure, sure.
I haven't watched Parenthood as a parent, actually. That you make a good point about that.
Nope. Can't do it. I know what he does. He's like an emotional a lot of emotional whiplash. I'm not prepared for it.
Yeah. It has a lot of those same feelings as, you know, when it's
big feelings.
And also too, what I love about Friday Night Lights, it felt, and maybe this is some of the influence from the movie as well, but it felt almost unscripted in its approach, right? Like, actors didn't really have marks. They just kind of lived in the space and cameras just kind of moved around them, all handheld. That's right. Yeah. Which makes it feel closer to home, I think.
It does.
And you'd watch it forever. So you can't skip season two and you're okay with that. You'd watch it front to back forever.
I won't skip it. I'm fine. I'll make a snack during those few episodes.
All right. We're down to the very last pick. What are you pairing with Friday Night Lights as your second forever show?
I'm a basic bee at the end of the day, and I'm going to go with The Office as my forever, 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 forever.
Wow.
I don't think that's basic.
You don't? Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Not only do I think it's not basic, you're the first person to put it on a category.
Oh my God, I was like burying the lead as like everyone said this.
No. Let's, like, you're the first. It's all yours. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it's, people watch it. They watch it often. It's, you know, the reason many people had Netflix, and, you know, how do you feel about the
now Peacock?
I was going to say, do you feel, are you sucked in? Are you paying full premium Peacock to watch The Office? Or
we are paying full premium Peacock. We are full. We're locked and loaded. I watch an episode every night. So I watch an episode truly every night. I watch them. I do exactly what you're saying. I watch it all the way through and then start at the beginning.
I love it. So this was tailor made.
I love it. I love how problematic Michael Scott is in like those first couple of seasons.
First couple, the whole time.
No, I mean like super, like by 2021 standards, it's like, I feel like he would have been canceled.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think they did a really amazing thing after season one where, you know, I've listened to every podcast, but I'm really in love with it. I just think it's such an incredible show. And talk about characters. I think it's amazing because, you know, when you put those characters in a scenario, you can guess as an audience member how they're going to react. And like, they just, they pack so much punch. You know, those scripts are like 33 pages, 34 pages. We're talking like small scripts at the end of the day. And the fact that you can have like three perfect creed lines per episode, it's just so economical. I just think the whole thing. Speechless by it.
And that's what probably what makes it a fun forever pick. Cause I think, you know, there's one argument to be made that, you know, it's the reason for your bedroom TV. It's the show you put on at night when you're falling asleep because those familiar rhythms. But on the other hand, it is technically very well done. And for a writer like yourself, you could, you're stuck with it forever, there's a lot to piece out. There's a lot to, like, if you're going to really get in between the folds of the show, like there's a lot of, like you said, really great writing and tons of jokes, and you could kind of dissect it as you watch if you wanted to.
Yeah. And also just like the character construction of like someone like Ryan Howard, for instance, you know, he started kind of as like the guy that didn't want to be there, only spoke when spoken to, like, you know, keep your head down. It's a temp. You're not going to be here for long. I'm so interested in when as a group, they decided like, let's make him the boss, because I think that unlocked this like potential of like, okay, so what happens if this guy who always wanted out is now at the top? Like, he's cocky, he's young, he thinks he's hot shit. And then let's give him a fall from grace. I just think like, he's like the character with nine lives. He's been reinvented in every season. So I'm always so interested in that. Like, then he dyes his hair platinum and lived in Thailand, which you find out it wasn't Thailand. He was like in Orlando instead. I just think he's such a great reveal of the character.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel post Steve Carell? How do you feel post Michael Scott? Was there a drop off? How do you feel about it? Because again, this is a forever show, so you can't skip those post-Michael Scott seasons.
Yeah, there's a drop-off for me after Steve Carell. Yes, there's a drop-off. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a drop-off. Yeah. But also, like, I think season three is the most perfect season of television ever. Ever.
What are some episodes from season three?
Oh, let me count the ways. So season three is when... At the beginning of it, Jim is now working in the Stanford branch. So it starts with like, there's two different branches. Mm-hmm. Right. It introduces Karen Filippelli, his new girlfriend, mm-hmm. Shida Jones, who's wonderful on it. At some point in the season, there is a merger between Stanford and Dunder Mifflin, Pennsylvania. Why can't I remember where it takes place? Hello.
Scranton.
Scranton and it's getting late. Stanford and Scranton combine, and Michael Scott takes over both branches, which is a twist because you think they're going to be absorbed by Stanford. Right. And then all those employees have to now work in Scranton. And I just love the way it plays out. Beach Games is in that season. Amazing. When Michael's trying to find a successor, The Job is in that season where they go interview for the new replacement. That's the season where Jan kind of like falls off the wagon. There's just like, I just find that season to really kind of be they were really in their groove in that season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the most heartwarming moments of the series, I think you just mentioned The Job, is when Jim comes back and just kind of pops his head in to Pam's interview.
Pam, are you free for dinner tonight? Yes. Okay. Well then it's a date. I really watch it every night.
Yeah, but like,
I can just do it for you if you want.
I love it. So we do play some clips on the show. If there's other favorite scenes that you have, let us know and we'll.
Yes, I'll tell you, Beach Games, it's like one of my favorite jokes ever. Michael's explaining this is like a winner's take all and you have to be able to be an entertainer. He's basically trying to explain to them at the end.
I don't want to leave this branch that I love to an outside hire. Therefore, we're going to have a 100-point winner-take-all sudden death tribal council round to test the aspect of my job that I think is the most important, something I call the Bob Hope factor.
Who's Bob Hope?
God, he's a comedian.
Oh, like Amanda Bynes.
Who's Amanda Bynes?
She's from What a Girl Wants.
Oh, I love that movie. Yes, Kelly is right. The person to replace me has to have a great sense of humor, and they have to possess the leadership qualities of a Bynes or a Hope.
It's so random. A Hope or
your
a Bynes. It's perfect.
What else? I mean, we have the Office Encyclopedia. What else? What else do you got? What are some other favorite scenes or moments?
Oh my God. Like what I'm trying to think, what are my favorite moments? I have to say Mindy Kaling has like a lot of like incredible one-liners. When Ryan comes back as the boss and he's introducing the new website and the website's had like a lot of issues. And she says, if I made a website with this many problems, I'd kill myself. And it's just perfect line.
What about favorite cold opens? Cause those are like iconic things that like,
yeah. I love the, cold open where Dwight is working. He's talking about how like he's working his core on the, is it a bouncy ball or something instead of you sitting on a chair. And at some point he's driving Jim crazy and Jim takes a scissor and you find out in the deleted scenes that it was supposed to deflate very slowly. He was supposed to puncture it and you were supposed to see kind of Dwight slowly fade into the floor, but he must have punctured it at the one exact place in the seam and he just immediately fell on the floor. And you see John go out of frame because he's laughing. So it's an amazing cold open.
The backstory too. I love it.
I mean, also, oh my God, I don't think this is a cold. I don't think it's a cold open when he hits Meredith with this car. I think it is the cold open. Open of season four. And he's like, you know, season four, Jim's back. The greats are back together. And he hits Meredith with this car right at the end of it. And it's just that, and the reveal of how he hit Meredith. He goes in, he tells everyone that Meredith's been hit by a car. They say, how? He's like, well, I was able to be on the scene because I was in the car. And Pam goes, oh, Michael.
And then that turns into the fun run episode.
Yeah, for rabies.
Man, when you start talking about it, you realize just like how many iconic episodes there are that like, and I'm someone who I don't go back and binge it. I haven't done a Netflix binge. It's just on when it's on. I still have, you know, YouTube TV. So like I can just watch kind of cable and it's on all the time. And every time I'll throw it on and see if it's a Michael Scott season, I'll keep it on almost every time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, it's LOL. Like I know every joke, I could tell you every joke and I still laugh out loud.
I just love that it's always on and that I know that when I put on an episode, I'm going to laugh.
Yeah.
And like, even if I've seen it before like a million times, I still am like, that's what I feel like the magic of that show is that it doesn't matter how many times you see it. It's so funny that you're going to keep laughing even when you know what the joke is.
It's chicken soup for the soul.
It really is. All right. So, Sass, we have a little bit of a twist. What if we told you now that you, for one of your forever picks, you can watch the series every time like it's the first time? Which series is it going to be?
Oh, my God. what are you going to make me pick? I can watch it. Like, I get to watch it with fresh eyes every time.
Every time.
Fresh eyes every time.
Okay. I know what the answer.
Okay.
Friday Night Lights. I want that with fresh
Makes
eyes.
Sense. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine
no.
hearing Clear Eyes, Full Hearts Can't Lose for the first time? Every time?
No. Oh. That is a show. That is a show I'd like to see with fresh eyes. I'd like to not know what happens.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Same. Absolute same. That would.
I love that in The Office, I do know what happens. So actually, it's like The Office. I wouldn't have picked The Office for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a different sort of comfort. Brandy, have we asked each other what we would watch forever from our own criteria?
I was just thinking that. I don't know if we did.
Or what we've watched with fresh eyes from our own criteria from our forever shows?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we did.
So my forever shows were Parks and Rec and Friday Night Lights. I agree. I think Friday Night Lights is the pick. I would watch that show with fresh eyes and be better for it. I would absolutely love it. It would be so much fun.
Oh, I know, which I forgot. So my forever picks were House Hunters and Chappelle Show. So obviously Chappelle Show.
Yeah. The House Hunters.
House Hunters would be the, I mean.
It's the same show.
You can't. That's torture. Why would you do that?
No.
Like the best thing about House Hunters is that it's just like, I already know it's going to be a different house every episode. I do tend to watch episodes over again though. Because if it's an episode set in New York, I'm down. I can't wait.
I've never seen an episode set in New York.
There's like two. And they look at like super shitty apartments.
Yeah. And they're like, we have a $300 budget. Yeah.
No, they look at like super shitty apartments in like Second Avenue in like the 50s. Sorry to all my people who live over there.
We love Midtown.
Midtown East. Yay. Move.
So what a great list. So to recap, The Comeback and Succession are the best shows that Sass Goldberg has ever seen. Top Chef and Catastrophe are her favorite shows of all time. And she would watch Friday Night Lights and The Office forever. Wonderful list. Brandy, of these picks, which is the most interesting to you?
I love this whole list. I think it's great. I love every show on
Same.
It. But The Comeback and Catastrophe are two shows that if you are listening and you have not seen these shows, get your friend's HBO Max login, get your mom's Amazon Prime, and like watch The Comeback and watch Catastrophe. Like, you won't be sad. Like, they're short seasons, short episodes, and it's they're so good. That's my public service announcement from Sass's BFF criteria.
Thank you.
Dan, what about you? What stands out? I mean,
it's a no-brainer. It's the fact that you picked Friday Night Lights as a forever show. I mean, whenever a guest has a pick that matches your own criteria, it's cause for celebration, and we're celebrating. It was the perfect pick, in my opinion. Can't get any better.
Okay, so Sass, quick lightning round, okay? So don't overthink, just answer with the first thing that comes to mind, okay?
Yes.
What is a book or movie that you think should be adapted into a TV series?
Ooh, a book or a movie. Ooh, book or a movie that should be adapted to TV show. My Cousin Vinny.
Love it.
Wow, fun pick. Nice. I've watched that.
What's a show that you wish that you could have been cast in of all time? And it could be an existing role or a new character.
Ooh, an existing role or a new character. Can it be one of the shows I already named?
No.
It can't be. Okay, hold on.
Let's keep it interesting.
It can't be one of those shows. It has to be a new show. Ooh, what show do I wish I was in that I'm not in that I want? There's so many shows I want to be in. Veep.
That's great.
Great. Awesome. You were going to say Succession, weren't you?
Yes.
Similar vibes between the two of them. Yeah. Good call.
Yes.
And then last one, what is one show that everyone raves about but that you've just never gotten into?
Parks and Rec.
Oh, ooh. Wow.
Sorry, I know. I took all the goodwill I had for Friday Night Lights and I threw it against the wall.
The positives and negative. What a whirlwind this is. My God.
Wait, because wasn't that your other favorite, Dan?
That's my other forever pick.
Yeah, as you said.
Agrees 100% on one, never got into the other. Wow.
No.
It all comes out in the wash, I guess.
I tried. I think it's like you have to push through season one and I couldn't.
That's right. That's right. She gets a little less Michael Scott and becomes her own character in season 2.
I don't even remember. Like, it was in The Office, and I'm sorry.
It's okay. Listen, no list is perfect.
And now I'm going to think about that. Those are good questions. I appreciate that.
Wonderful. A bit of a roller coaster ride at the end there, but a great lightning round. And with that, that's a wrap on this episode of TV BFFs. We want to say thank you so, so much to our guest, Sass Goldberg. Sass, where can we find you? What are you up to?
Oh, I'm around. You'll see me sometimes. I sometimes write some television. I'm trying to write some more television. So keep your eyes peeled. There's some good stuff coming out in fall, winter time.
Okay. And where can people follow you?
Oh, God. My Instagram. But you don't want to follow. You can't follow me anywhere. I'm nowhere good.
The unfollowable. You can follow us, though. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the show. You can check us out on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast or email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, we would love to hear from all of you. So reach out and send us your six. We want to know what your top six shows of all time are and where they fall in your own personal BFF criteria. So send us your picks and we'll share our favorites on the podcast. Until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, everybody.